Philippians chapter 1. Joy in the journey. Joy in the journey is the series through this book of Philippians. We've had a few messages already. We want to pick up with one today that I've entitled Plot Twist. Plot Twist. If you'd stand with me, please, the reading of God's Word. I want to read verses 12 through the first half of verse 18. Paul puts a period, at least the way they divided up the verses, puts a period there, and I'm going to stop, and then we'll pick up next week in the last half of 18 and following. So Philippians chapter 1, beginning of verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. I'm going to ask one of our elders, Joe, if you would just ask God's blessing as we hear the word of God. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to think back to the last good book that you read. Now, for the old school people, this is a book, okay, has pages, you can open it. For new school, it's on your Kindle, but think back to the last good story you read. Or if you haven't read a good one in a while, think back to the last good movie that you saw that when you got done with it, maybe in the theater you walked out, or maybe on a DVD you went, wow, that was a good movie. Okay, got one in mind? Now, if it was a good one, probably there were a few common elements to it. First of all, there was probably some good, crisp dialogue. The dialogue engaged you. It kind of brought you and drew you in to the action. It probably somehow either touched your heart, stirred your emotions, or got your blood pumping. If it were a movie, there was probably some good acting and a good development of characters. They weren't just one-dimensional characters, but there was some depth to them. There probably was some kind of conflict involved, something that brought it to a pitch or a climax, and you're like, oh, I hope that guy gets what's coming to him. We watched a movie recently. It was about this basket. It's a true, based on a true story about a basketball coach who was hoping to coach boys. He ended up coaching girls. And at first, he was very disappointed with this, and he wanted to have coached boys. But by the end, you know, he realized it was girls. But there's this one guy. He's the head of everything. He owns everything. He runs everything. And you just want him to be taken out. You really, not killed, but you just want him taken out. You just want it. And at the very end, they got him. It was just like, yes! You know what I'm talking about. That satisfying end. Or maybe it was the boy gets the girl, or the girl gets the boy. It was a good climax to a conflict. And last of all, it was a good storyline. It wasn't very weak. It wasn't this weak plot that just kind of, oh, this is so boring. And it wasn't so complex. He went, what were they trying to say? It was a plot that drew you in. And a lot of good plots will have twists to them. You think you're going one way, and all of a sudden they twist and go another. You're like, what? And for a minute, you're kind of like, whoa. And then sometimes if you go back and watch the movie again, you go, oh, the author put a little clue here and a little clue here. A little clue here. So, in retrospect, the twist makes sense, but in the moment, the plot twist catches you off guard. The Apostle Paul had experienced a plot twist in his life. He's talked about it to us, he talks to us about it in our text today. The plot twist, and we don't know all the details of it. We know that Paul was in prison, or he was under house arrest. He had not had his freedom for over 4 years. That was already known to the Philippians, so that's not really the plot twist. Because as far as we can tell, that was something they were familiar with. But something new seems to have happened. something seems to have caused some concern among his readers and some concern among those around him there in Rome. Perhaps he was moved from his rented house at the end of Acts 28 to a more close to the trial prison. But something happened and everybody is starting to go, uh-oh, what's going on? What's happening? There's a problem. He may not make it. Oh no. Because you realize Paul has appealed to Nero. Nero has the power to say life. Oops, I guess it's like that. Life or death. So something happened to the Apostle Paul that has everybody concerned and alarmed. They're wondering what's happening. They're wondering, is this life or death? Is this trial going to work? And they're beginning to question Paul. Some folks are. They're beginning to wonder, is he really doing the good thing for the gospel here? This Paul guy, he's always getting right in your face kind of thing. Is this really, maybe we should just kind of go quiet for a while. Rome isn't exactly happy about us. You know, this getting in their face, Paul, this isn't a good strategy. This is not good for the gospel. You're hurting the cause of Christ, Paul. Shut up. Others are thinking, well, you know, Paul, if you were really an apostle of faith, you wouldn't be still in prison anyhow. Remember, Peter, he got the old free the chains escape trick. You got the free the chains escape trip, so to speak, in Philippi. But now you've been there 4.5 years. So maybe you're just not as important as you think you are. Whatever it is, and we don't know for certainty, something changed in this plot twist. Something has gone on, and so they're beginning to wonder, is there a problem? Now, the Apostle Paul takes a look at this, and he wants them to know, wait a minute, time out. This is a God plot twist. Take a look at chapter 1, verse 16. The latter do so in love, knowing that, what does it say? I am put here for the defense of the gospel. If you are a good Jew, when you write that phrase, I am put here, what he means is God has orchestrated the events, so I am right here now for the defense of the gospel. Paul doesn't say, this is because the Romans did this to me. This isn't because I made a big stink in Jerusalem. This isn't because I'm stubborn that I'm here. God put me here. God did it. This is God's plot twist in the story of my life. God took his pen and wrote a chapter that has me going in the direction I'm going. Don't panic. Don't get overwhelmed with this plot twist. Things are not out of control. God has done this for me. And he said, let me tell you, there's some good that's come out of this plot twist. The first thing we find in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You guys are afraid that it's hurting the gospel. No way. It has the exact opposite effect. It is advancing. And that word advance carries with it the idea of it's advancing in spite of obstacles. So instead of it stopping the gospel, oh, the gospel's breaking through and it keeps moving forward. And what also has happened is, in verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else, I am in chains for Christ. Rome was used to political prisoners. Rome was used to people causing a problem, causing a stir. They were not used to someone like Paul. Paul was there because he believed in Jesus and he proclaimed Jesus Christ as Savior. He was there because of his testimony. God put him there in defense of the gospel because he took a stand for Jesus Christ. And because Paul's under house arrest, he's chained to a guard. 4-hour shifts, 3-hour shifts. Where's the guy going to go? He's chained to Paul. Hey, bud. How you doing? Fine. You know why I'm here? I'm here because of Jesus. Who's Jesus? You've not heard about him? No. Let me tell you about him. And then Paul shares the gospel with him. And then he goes, and number two comes by. Hi. Hi. You know why I'm here? No. Want me to tell you? Not really. Well, I'm going to tell you anyhow. It's because of Jesus. Do you know how many people he had a chance to talk to about Jesus? They couldn't go anywhere. They were required to be there. And so by the time Paul got done, the word kept spreading to the entire Praetorium Guard. He's here because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. So much so that the word spread enough that even some from Caesar's household, as we'll see later on, came to Christ. So Paul says, this is not a bad thing, this plot twist. Oh, you might look at it that way, but let me tell you how I look at it. This is a good thing. God has me here, and instead of hindering the gospel, I'm just getting a chance to share with people I never would have had a chance to share with before. And now look how many people have heard the good news. Not only that, Paul said, another good thing happened. Take a look at verse 14. He says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. What Paul's arguing is that because I'm doing this and walking this out in faith, there's others that say, wait a minute, if he can do that, so can I. So instead of becoming frightened by it, which is what some people thought, oh my goodness, Paul, you're too out there, shut up. Paul's saying, no, this is actually the opposite. Instead of shutting up, they're like, yo, baby, my turn. And they started proclaiming. So Paul's sitting there. Paul is chained, but the gospel is not. And Paul said, isn't this cool? This plot twist has all the markings of the author's fingerprints on it. Which brings me to the point that I want to share with you another secret to joy. Joy in the journey comes when we embrace God's plot twists in the story of our lives. Joy in the journey comes when we embrace God's plot twists in the story of our life. Imagine if Paul had not embraced this plot twist. If Paul had done what we probably would have done. This isn't fair. I'm not happy. God, where are you? You don't love me anymore. What did I do wrong? All the things that we go through our minds when there's a plot twist, Paul doesn't do. Where we would be discouraged, maybe we would have our faith up for that first few weeks, first few months, but years? Here he is, 4 years. He's like, oh, I am so excited. What are you, Paul? He's a Christian. He's a follower of Jesus Christ who is willing to embrace the plot twist in God's life, in his life from God. Now, I know sometimes we face situations where the plot twist wasn't of our making. Okay? Where, how about Joseph in the Old Testament? You're familiar with his story. I mean, we love the rags to riches story. His story was a riches to rags, riches to rags, riches to rags, finally rags to riches. He started with riches. He was the favored son of his dad, Jacob, and his dad's favorite wife, Rachel, firstborn of Rachel. He was in a good place. He loved his life. He had that richly ornamented robe. He was good. He just like, yeah, I'm good. And on top of that, God gives him dreams. And he says, hey, guess what? Life's good. He is at riches. And then what happens? His brother said, shut up. They wanted to kill him. Reuben intervened. They throw him into a pit. They decide to sell him into slavery. And so he just went from riches to rags. So now he ends up being sold to Potiphar. God's favor is on him. And he goes from rags to riches and becomes in control of everything in Potiphar's house. Until Potiphar's wife decides she likes what she sees. Ooh, nice six-pack. I want you. And then she goes after him. He refuses. He runs out of the house. She's got his robe. She's feeling humiliated. So she does the old sob story. And what happens to Joseph? He goes from riches to rags. He's thrown into prison. A second downturn in his life. He's in prison. And God, again, has favor on him. And he's risen up into power again in the prison, in control of the king's prisoners. He ends up declaring the answer to the dream. He's so excited, this is good. And what happens? He's forgotten again. So now he's gone through about 13 years of riches to rags, riches to rags, riches to rags. Most of us would have been whining and complaining after the first time. Maybe if we're really spiritual, the second time. But by the third time, we're like, this is not fair. I didn't do this. I was falsely accused. I was forgotten. This isn't right. Oh, God. And we would be whining and complaining about the plot twists in the story of our life. We would say, that's it. Why should I serve God? It's not worth it to serve God. I'm trying to serve God. It hasn't worked out. Nothing's turned around. I am ready to throw in the towel and give up. That's what we would have been doing, wouldn't we? But not Joseph. Joseph allows God to shape character in the midst of that situation. Joseph is willing to lay hold of God's plot twist. He's willing to embrace God's plot twist. He's willing to say, God, I may not understand your plan, but I know you have a good plan, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to embrace it. And what does God end up doing? God ends up orchestrating, moving him from rags to riches, second in command of all of Egypt. And 9 years later, his brothers come and, not recognizing him, bow before him and honor him. God fulfilled his word. Now, here's the kicker. Joseph tells us he embraced God's plot twist, because take a look at Genesis 50. Here's what he says to his brothers after their dad died. They're convinced Joseph is going to come after them. He's going to nail them. He was nice while his dad was alive, but he's going to go after us. Verse 19, Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. You intended to harm me. You put this plot twist in my life. I didn't ask for it. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Here's what I've learned about God. It doesn't matter if the plot twist is a direct causation from God. It doesn't matter if the plot twist comes from someone else's hand. It doesn't even matter if the plot twist is because I grabbed the pen out of the author's hand and took control like Adam and Eve did. God was going to write an incredible story in paradise, and Adam and Eve said, we can write a better one. They grabbed the pen out and they started writing. And what they did is they scribbled all over the page, and it made a mess. They thought it was going to be a happily ever after, and it was, they just lost house and home. And God said, let me have that pen back. I'm going to give you a promise. If you give me back that pen, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Your kid, somewhere down the road, is going to be born, and he's going to kick butt and take out the devil. But let me have the pen. Some of you are in the midst of a plot twist today that is divinely ordained by God. You thought life was going to go this way. All of a sudden there's a twist, and you have a lack of equilibrium today because of that. Things have not turned out the way you expected. You're still in that state of, I'm still moving through the air. My feet aren't back down yet. Some of you are in a plot twist because somebody else did something to you, and it has shifted the direction of your life. Some of you are in a plot twist because you grabbed the pen from the author. It doesn't matter how that plot twist came about. This I know, God is sovereign. And from the very beginning, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God had a beautiful story he wanted to write with your life. God had an incredible story, a story and a plan that was to prosper you and give you hope and give you a future. God had a destiny and a plan that was going to end up with him forever and ever. And yes, there are some plot twists, and yes, there are some challenges that you might be facing, but lay hold of this. The author of the story is also the finisher of the story, and he knows how to end it, so when it's all said and done, it is a very good ending. That's where joy in the journey comes. Joy in the journey comes trusting that the author knows what he's doing. Joy in the journey comes by embracing the plot twist in your life and saying, God, I may not understand, but I will trust. I may not yet see, but I will trust that this is not the last chapter in my life. There's another chapter coming where I'm going to see redemption. Joseph waited 13 years to get to that place of redemption, and it came. For Paul, that redemption came as well, and he was released. Joy in the journey comes when we embrace the God's plot twists, the author's plot twists in the story of our life. Now, there's one other thing, though, that Paul says. He's not done. There's another point that Paul wants to make. And he goes on in verse 15. He says, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me and my chains. There are some bold preachers, we said, that came about because of Paul's chains. Paul now recognizes some of those bold preachers have a bad motive. I think part of what it was, and again, we're speculating a little bit. We have to kind of read through the text. What he talks about is envy and rivalry. It seems to be they felt they were in competition with Paul. Okay? They're jealous, perhaps, of Paul's ministry. They're jealous of all that Paul's done. Maybe they were the big noise in the Rome area, and then Paul shows up, and now Paul's got all the noise, and they can't handle it. They're jealous. And so now that Paul's out of the picture, they're like, yeah, baby, our church is going to grow. Yeah, baby, we got the numbers. Yeah, he's taken out. Let's grow. Now, here's the interesting thing that Paul says. He says, but what does it matter? Verse 18, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. What is Paul saying? Paul recognizes that the preachers, both the bad motive and the good motive, are preaching the truth. This isn't false teachers we're talking about. We're not talking about false teachers here that are teaching another gospel. They're preaching the gospel, but they're doing it for a false motive. They're doing it to make Paul miserable. See, their thought seems to be, well, if we're jealous of Paul, then he's probably just as jealous as we are because we tend to project what we are on somebody else. So they're probably, if we get the numbers now, and Paul's stuck in prison, he's going to be so bummed out. He's going to be so discouraged. They didn't count on the fact that Christ had been formed in Paul. Paul got it. It wasn't about his reputation. It was about the gospel's proclamation. And as long as the gospel was proclaimed, he didn't care if it was personal. You could put me down all you want. I don't care. Jesus is preached. People are being saved. I'm good. Why? Because Paul was getting this truth. When we make it more about Jesus than we make it about ourselves, we know joy. Joy in the journey comes when we make it more about Jesus than we do about ourselves. Paul wasn't there to build an empire, a legacy for his own name. He was there for one reason and one reason alone. I determined that I would know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ in him, the hope of glory. It was about Jesus. And as long as Jesus was being preached, he didn't care whether he advanced or not. As long as Jesus was being preached. Can you imagine how frustrated it must have been for those guys? Oh, bummer. We got a large church and it didn't bug Paul. Bummer. See, they didn't care. He didn't care. Paul understood that when we make it about us, we lose our joy. Think about your own life. How many times have you lost your joy because somebody offended you? How many times have you lost your joy because somebody hurt you? How many times have you lost your joy because you were afraid of what somebody else might think about you? Think about that. The fear, the hurt, the anger, the sadness, the depression. I didn't hear joy in any of those, did you? See, because that's what happens. Oh, we may take the pen and write a little bit in the story of our life, and we might be able to get those numbers, and there's a little bit of hype, and there's a little bit of excitement, and for that temporary moment, we might feel like, yes! The problem with it is over time, happiness won't lead to joy. You'll find out it doesn't work. When I make it about me, when I make it about how my doing compared to another church that's growing larger? How am I doing compared to another pastor's doing? The moment I start comparing and take my eyes off Jesus, then I start making success the measure instead of Jesus and fruitfulness, and I lose my joy. As long as I remember it's about Jesus, it doesn't matter if there's 40, 50, or 400, 500, or 4,000, 5,000. If it's about Jesus, it doesn't matter about me. It doesn't matter whether I'm liked or not liked. It doesn't matter whether I'm praised or not praised. It doesn't matter whether I'm affirmed or not affirmed. As long as Jesus is preached and people can see Jesus. That's what Paul's heart was. That was Paul's passion. And that's why even in the midst of a jail cell, he had joy. And he's letting us know, you want joy? I'm sharing every secret I know about joy that God taught me. And two that I want you to learn today, Paul's saying, is this. One, I want you to look at the storyline and look at those plot twists and recognizing it's not fate that put them there. It's the author of the story of your life that put them there. Trust him. And I want you to stop making it about yourself and make it about Jesus. Because when you stop making it personal about you, you don't lose your joy. Let me put it this way. You don't let someone else rob you of your joy. See, when you make it more about you than it is about Jesus, then you make your joy dependent upon someone else around you. Remember we learned first week that doesn't work? Joy in the journey doesn't come from what's going on around us, but what he's doing in us. And so as we learn this, we learn to go, is Jesus preached? I'm good. Is Jesus glorified? I'm good. Joy in the journey. Embrace the plot line. Plot twist. Joy in the journey. Take that plot twist and absorb it. Accept it. Embrace it. Praise him for it. And then make it about Jesus.